Why do you say that, Father? You aren't afraid, are you?
No. But I respect some of the superstitions of others. Often they are founded in fact.
Broadcasting live from our Sanctum Sanctorum in Venice, California, this is the Sixth Sense Society. I'm your host, Krista, here with our producer, Michael, and today you're tuning in to Spell It Out, Magic, Reflections, and Shadows, where I take a topic and run with it. Today, I have chosen the topic of Chiron, and I will explain why I chose that topic. But first, I will be doing the announcements today because Michael is getting over COVID for the second time this year. This one was not quite as serious for him, but he still has a cough. So I'm going to be doing the announcements, but please send him your good wishes. So the next week on the 10th, we have our good friends, Holly Lindblom of Haunts. I think, and Jessica Coutel of Mystic Mitten Paranormal. And we're going to just be catching up with both of them who've been on the show before. And this is, by the way, October, if you don't know, is our paranormal month. So we do a lot of more paranormal shows in general. And then on the 17th, we have West Coast Taps coming on for the first time. So we're really excited about that. And then on the 24th, we have David Harvey, who's going to be talking about something paranormal and alien, who's also the first time on our show. And then on Halloween, we have no show because we're going to be working in or volunteering in a haunted house, scaring people. So we're very excited about that. And please continue to like us and subscribe. It really helps us. We really appreciate all of you that have already done that. And also all of you that chat with us. We really do appreciate that a lot. So let me go ahead and get started on my topic today. So one of the things I have discovered when you start to research any topic in astrology is that it takes a little bit of time to really get to the heart of the matter. And I chose Chiron for a couple reasons. One is I was getting a little tired of maybe some popular view of always calling Chiron the wounded healer. It doesn't fit really mythologically at all. And it is, in fact, it's really, I don't even know, a healer is one of his archetypes, but I have a prominent Chiron, and I can tell you right now that it's really a very superficial view of Chiron, who is really fascinating when you go into your chart, and we're going to talk about why. I was first introduced to Chiron by someone when I was in my 30s, so it was in the 1990s, who sort of specialized it, and he made a note saying, hey, you have a prominent Chiron. My Chiron is almost directly conjunct my ascendant. And I also have some other things that connect to Chiron, which is another reason why in the long run, you do want to take a look at your own Chiron and see if it's in relationship to other planets. It's so critical. And in fact, all of astrology is about studying relationships of some kind. And so the more you take the time to do that, the more you get your own insights. The other reason I picked Chiron is Saturn is sitting right on top of my Chiron right now. And so basically Saturn, who is a teacher, said, hey, you know, let's take a look at this, Krista. And he did it fairly forcefully. So I'm very happy that Saturn has instructed me to do this. And so that is one of the reasons I wanted to talk about it. I also feel and think that Chiron is a fascinating a celestial body in so many ways. And so what I've been doing myself is I go back and I read the myth again, and I try to read it through, you know, the complexity of it, but you start to realize that that takes a long time too. So you start to see all the players that are connected to Chiron. So in mythology, Chiron is the son of Saturn and a nymph who Saturn sort of basically rapes her, you know. And I don't know that rape is part of Chiron's story because it seems to be very common in the Greek gods. I think it's more of a commentary on society at that time. But I'm not going to say that couldn't be part of a person's archetype. And so he is abandoned, actually, as a baby. And he is adopted by Apollo and his sister, who raise him. So he's adopted by the gods. Artemis, I think, is Apollo's sister. And so he's trained in all these different things in his life. And so when you look at the archetype of Chiron, it's really reflected in all of his abilities and also his influence in other people's stories. And so I really, really recommend Richard Knoll's book on Chiron. I mean, there's a couple others I've read, but his, it's called The Key to Your Own Quest, which is what I think Chiron really can be. It can be a key to what is your quest in this lifetime? Where is it going to happen? In what house it's going to happen? What kind of style of a quest? And some of you will have a more Chiron experience depending on how much your own chart reflects the archetype of the mythology. And so one of the first things I recommend people is to look at your chart and see what dominant mythologies are playing out through your chart. And so people can do this through noticing both positive and negative aspects to planets. And it's actually a good way to frame how you approach your chart. And I think Joseph Campbell was really right that by looking at our life in sort of a bigger context, you know, maybe I'm not going to be Jason, you know, on a heroic journey, but there are keys to understanding our own journey in this map and mythology, which I find to be really helpful. And so helping you to navigate positively and negatively. Why I particularly find it strange that people have adopted the wounded healer part of Chiron primarily is that he overcame so many things and was well known and well respected in the centaurs in his lifetime. And so many people focus on the end of his life, which I think is a very strange mystery still. Like, I will talk about that a little bit. So anyway, going back to the book by Robert Knoll, here's a quote I wanted to read because it really captures to me the essence of Chiron in your chart. He says that in the natal horoscope, the place, okay, so the house, he's talking about the house of Chiron. He calls it the Chironian, the area of life where enlightenment is to be sought and found. The chief centaur's house position tells where you meet your mentor, as well as where the great existential challenges you face, your quest, if you will, can be encountered and resolved. Often like the mythical centaur's festering wound, there are areas of life that make us uncomfortable because they seem to represent challenges that are virtually impossible to resolve. But resolve we must in one way or another, or else face the eternal torment of an unfulfilled destiny. So that's the real torment, is if you don't fulfill your destiny. And you meet people that feel they don't have a purpose in life and they're not really sure where they're going. I happen to have an extremely archetypal Chiron in my chart. And I wouldn't say everyone's going to have it. But what I did was I went back and I looked at one of the things I've learned in hindsight, which I would recommend if you're young, is don't just focus on, say, the Saturn return or the Chiron return. What you want to do is look at the evolution of, if Saturn is prominent in your chart, if Chiron is prominent, you want to look at the evolution of that particular body and planet. And what I did was I went and I looked through all of the different angles from starting with the sextile all the way to my first Chiron return. And it was extraordinary. The events that happened in those years, they all were part of my quest. And so Chiron, I'm going to look at it ahead, is mapping out some of the experiences that can happen to me that will help me understand my quest. The other thing I found about Chiron myself is Chiron really teaches you. Chiron is a guide. You could almost call Chiron your higher self if you want, because if you do anything, I noticed when I turned 50, I was not really aware of the Chiron return. It was still not talked about as much maybe, and that doesn't excuse me for not knowing that, but I kept almost injuring my feet and my ankles in such a way I said, I'm going to look at my astrology chart because of that. And I found out because I have Chiron in Pisces and my ascendant is basically Aquarius. Aquarius rules the ankles, Pisces the feet. I was in my Chiron return. And as soon as I acknowledged that, I stopped having these almost serious accidents. It was weird. And I thought, wow, Chiron's trying to talk to me. So then I basically listened and I worked I read some books and I studied how Chiron was affecting me at the time. And basically, I found it to be a very meaningful and kind of more of a mystical time for me, but that has to do with the nature of my own Chiron. And so it's really interesting. I think in hindsight, if I was to look at anything that has those sort of like Saturn return, like I said, I would go back and look at the whole spread in a sense and the whole process and not just the points that everyone talks about overall. I want to say hi to Caroline. Thanks for listening in. So getting back to the mythology of Chiron. So Chiron, he becomes really great for many things. And so he was a great teacher of warriors. And some of his pupils were Achilles, Jason, Peleus, Hercules. He also was a teacher of Orpheus and Aristeus, and he imparted them a love and talent for music. Achilles and Asclepius, he helped them to learn the arts of surgery and herbal medicine. And then he taught astrology to Hercules and Asclepius. So he is known for quite a few talents. So let's see. He's known for ability to train warriors, a healer, astrology. He was known for his wisdom, hunter-gatherer. And as you can see, I think his biggest gift was the ability to help mentor people to find and be on their own quest. And so he didn't really tell his students what to do per se, and there's stories about that, but sort of helped prepared them for their own unique quest. And you can see there were diverse quests. So that's why I think that Chiron is much more, should be seen in that light. And the thing about the wounded healer part, I think this comes from as he got older, he was accidentally wounded by a poisoned arrow, and there's different stories about it, by Hercules. And he couldn't heal from the wound, and he was an immortal, and so he's in this agony. So people focus on that for some reason, but he does get out of it. He gets out of it in a very strange way with exchanging himself with Prometheus. And so there's this very interesting, I would say it's like a koan about what does that really mean. And so then eventually he can die, Chiron, and he's not in pain anymore. And so people focus on that wound for some reason being the main thing about Chiron. But even that doesn't make sense to me because, well, he does get out of it. And yes, he's in pain. But one of the things I'd like to tell you folks is there are other planets that can wound you. and I can also say that life is going to wound all of us. And if you're not getting wounded at all, then I would say you're not living. So it's a very more Buddhist view of things. It's that we're going to suffer. And really, Chiron doesn't strike me as someone that ever had self-pity, honestly. He did seem to like his solitude, though he did share a cave with his half-brother Jupiter. And one of the things I have discovered, too, when I'm reading the mythologies, because I did this with Pluto and I'm still working with Pluto a little bit, is when you start to look at the relationships in the mythology and then you go and look at your chart, there can be some prominence with the other players. And that helps you to understand, again, how can I use this as a blueprint for my own evolution? So with Chiron, you would also want to look at Jupiter, for instance. Sorry, I got tongue-tied there. And then, of course, Saturn being his father, and that's where I am right now, have Saturn on top of my Chiron. And it's also opposing Pluto, so that puts an interesting sort of tension into it. And so once you start doing that, it sort of frees the energies up so that you can really try to assimilate them. The other thing that's interesting about Chiron, and I mean, you could do a whole show just on the astronomy of Chiron, because Barbara Hand Clough, she talks about this idea, and so do some of the other astrologers, that it's really a bridge. Chiron's a bridge to the outer planets and is able to connect inner and outer planets because it's positioned between Saturn and Uranus. And also it has a very strange orbit. So it will sort of spend more time in a certain sign than others. Also, the time it was discovered, 1977, it was November 1st in 1977. It was in Pasadena. And right before that, or right around that time, 77, 78, there's this whole re-energized interest in the holistic movement. And so, and I experienced that because it was right before my own Chiron journey literally began in the January 1978. And it's crazy how exact it is in my chart, all of the things that my interests were spiritually. And I did personally have a personal trauma, which I don't know everybody will with Chiron, but it made sense in my chart. But it set me on my quest. And my quest was to understand death and mystery. And I went to healers, I went to astrologers, I began, and I had all kinds of strange experiences too, which I was not really prepared for because I was not a particularly spiritual or religious person before that. So it makes sense to me because that's Reiki started getting, people were going and getting Reiki, it was coming into the country, and all kinds of modalities around healing. Interesting enough, the California flower essences also began in 1978, which is could be connected to Chiron because of the whole herbalism and healing through herbalism. So I find that there's some really cool things about the timing of Chiron. The other thing that's kind of cool about Chiron is they're not sure Chiron's going to stay in the solar system. And it's classified sometimes as an asteroid, a comet, and a minor planet. So I thought, wow, what if Chiron isn't here for a very long time? So maybe we should all sort of really take advantage of Chiron. But I really like Richard Knoll's take on it because of the idea that he helps you to figure out how you can use the Chiron, what type of Chiron you have to find your own destiny and quest. So for instance, a simple thing you can do is look and see if Chiron is above or below the horizon. People that have Chiron below the horizon, it's a more internal process, and you're more likely to seek it more internally instead of an outward mentor. And there is a difference between the left and the right, but then those above, those are the ones that are going to be questing outside and journeying to places and going to find their mentors outside of them. And again, there's going to be different nuances depending on if it's the left or right side, which if I have time, I'll go into that too. And then you look at, of course, the house it's in and the sign it's in is going to make a difference as well. And I found that to be very accurate in my chart and also very helpful. And then the other thing that I like about his book is he actually gives you a brief meditation at the end in which you can meet Chiron yourself. And again, this might appeal to people in the Chiron people below the horizon. We're going to meet Chiron inside of ourselves. But ultimately, I think we all are seeking to integrate things from within us, even if the outside world is a vehicle initially in which we're going to do it. So getting back to some of the other interesting things I found about Chiron myself was, and this was just, again, by chance, and though it says that in one of the astrology books I read about my Chiron, it said that tarot and synchronicity are ruled by Chiron, and those are my two, I've been involved in tarot for 25 years, but I'm really into synchronicity. I'm always studying it and looking for it. And by the way, I had a synchronicity coming here. We were behind this trailer that said enlightenment on it. It was crazy, but that's Chiron for you, you know? So anyway, what was I going to say about? Now I totally lost my train. Oh, yes. So by chance, not so really for me, but I was watching this show on UFO sightings recently. And so one of the interesting things that I found had to do with the 1977, the Broadhaven Triangle UFO sightings. And I just watched this recently, and it was in a tiny Welsh village where at least 450 people reported seeing mysterious crafts and strange beings. And it started in a field behind a school. And this was a Netflix docuseries called Encounters, which it's only four. I totally recommend it. It's really good. I thought, wow, Chiron, I think Chiron has something to do with our connection to UFOs and aliens. And it is that bridge planet between the outer planets and the inner ones. And it's, you know, Chiron is also very a strange creature because Chiron is a centaur, half horse and half human. And so there's this other dimension which I'll talk about, which I think has to do with the evolution of the physical body. And this connects to the holistic healing aspect of Chiron. But I don't know how, and I know that's just one sort of synchronicity around Chiron's discovery and its connection to possibly alien and UFO. But as I probably mentioned earlier in another show on Pluto and Aquarius, there's going to be more and more information and emphasis on our connection to the cosmos in a variety of ways, including the UFO way. So I think Chiron might be some sort of bridge to connecting it, and we'll have to wait and see. Oh, the other thing I did want to mention, one of the other reasons I did pick this show as a topic is Chiron is in the sign of Aries, and it is, United States has Chiron in Aries, and it's basically in its Chiron return right now. And so it's not it's an easy time for me, I think, when certain planets are doing certain transits to kind of connect to its energy. So you can, even if you don't know your own Chiron, you can connect to the U.S. Chiron, which is in the fourth house in Aries, and sort of get your own impressions about it too. So that's another sort of interesting synchronicity about it. So there was a couple other things I wanted to mention in terms of the quotes. Let's see. That was the house and the myth and all right. So the other thing that Richard Knoll talks about with Chiron is, and I would say this is probably true of all of the planets, is that you really want to do it a little at a time, and you want to come back to it. And often, like in my case, a transit alerted me to it. And he says that coming to know Chiron requires a constant reference to the whole function represented by the centaur planet. And he says it will be helpful to think of just a few archetypal functions as representative of Chiron. And these are the ones that he thinks are the more important ones: the mentor, self-transformation, and the quest. And those are the three. And so that is one of my intentions, is sort of get Chiron away from the wounded healer archetype, because I don't think that is the correct archetype of Chiron. And I think that I do like psychology sometimes, but I'm beginning to feel like it limits things a little too much, particularly when you apply it to metaphysics. And I like more of a cosmic look at things. And I like, for instance, I prefer the idea of the magical mind, or perhaps looking at how the Eastern people have studied consciousness, because there's this myopic kind of energy with psychology at this point. And one of the things it is, it's always so focused on our wounds. And I remember reading actually a psychology book said that they were realizing that can actually be very damaging to people, that at some point, just talking about and going over our wounds is re-wounding people. And so I think it's important to see when we're wounded particularly. So when I was young, I was wounded by a tragedy, but I sort of went immediately into that and had looked for the types of healing that would help me with that wound. And there are some wounds that I don't think you really get over. I mean, there's just things you couldn't get over. You just learn to adapt and live with them. And I wouldn't call them a wound. I think it's just about life. As I said earlier, we're all going to be wounded in life. So I think that idea of healing is not the right association only with the centaur. I really, really feel, and from my own mapping of it, it's totally about the quest and about what it is that my soul is questing for in this lifetime. And it can be something that is very unique to you. It doesn't mean you're going to go off and do grand things, but you'll feel this connection. You'll feel happier with yourself if you really can identify some of that overall. And as I said, I would recommend, there's this, like I said, great little meditation at the end of Richard Knoll's book, which is, the exact title is, I know it's Chiron, The Key to Your Own Quest. I did also like Barbara Hand Klaus, some of the information in her Chiron book, Rainbow Bridge Between the Inner and Outer Planets. She gets pretty out there energetically, which I do like, because the idea of Chiron sort of representing these energy patterns and imprints, and then also because of its connection to the holistic health movement, one of the things that I was immediately interested in was the idea of integrating the mind and the body. And that I also think that personally, that there's more that we can do physically, that I think at some point we're going to be able to do more self-healing. And I know that that the end of the life where Chiron seems to die, he does die because he exchanges places with Prometheus, who, if you don't remember, is being, he's tied up and chained and his liver is being eaten daily by an eagle. And so that's pretty painful, right? But again, looking at that so literally is really strange to me when, you know, think of the eagle. It's such a spiritual symbol. And then this exchange of one of the things I thought of immediately was the practice of Tonglin in Buddhism, where you exchange your whatever's good in you with someone else. You exchange for their pain. You take on someone else's pain. And that was just sort of maybe my knee-jerk reaction to that story. But I really think there's a lot more going on in that exchange. And I think that Chiron, because of its connection to the unifying of the animal and the God in us, that there's something about that bridge that we can learn to do. And then as we do that more, we can become, we're not going to just be gods. We're not going to just be human. We're kind of this combination, which might appeal to some of the aliens actually out there. So anyway, Carolyn, August 15, 1977, Elvis died that the next day. Well, that is interesting because Chiron is associated with music, by the way. You know, he was a master musician, played the lyre. So I forgot that about Chiron actually. So I was going to try and look and see if there's any sort of musicians that have some prominent Chiron during that time, though Neptune is sometimes also associated with Chiron. So there's this esoteric side of Chiron that I think it's going to come into play more. We're going to see Chiron in a different light. We're going to move away from the psychological. Just remember to look at the entire myth. And one of the things you might find whenever you look at any myth is that you're drawn into a particular of that story at the time you're reading it. So that's why I go back and I'd look at the myth and say, well, this time I'm really drawn to this aspect. And so, I mean, if you're drawn to the idea of the warrior aspect, or you're drawn to the idea of, you know, the fact that he was abandoned as a boy. I mean, that could certainly be a part of someone's story that has Chiron. It wasn't really in my case. But whatever it is, it's there to help. You know, Chiron is a gentle healer, actually. Chiron does not hit you over the head. And so if there is an event that is difficult during a Chiron passage, I guarantee you almost 100% of the time it's connected to one of the outer planets. In my chart, it absolutely was. One of my biggest events happened when Chiron conjunct Mars opposed Neptune in the eighth house. So honestly, it isn't necessarily Chiron that's setting this off. Chiron is a gentle and wise mentor and will help you if you just take the time to, you know, connect with Chiron in a way that makes sense for you. So we're sort of winding down, and I would like to just to encourage you to go ahead and look where your Chiron is in your chart and think for yourself about it, meditate on it, approach it any way you want, whether it's mythologically or astronomically. But it's a journey with Chiron, because I go in and out of the journey myself studying it. And I have to admit, this time around, I'm sort of blown away by what I'm learning about Chiron and how helpful it has been in this time of my life overall. So thank you all for listening in. Make sure to check us out on our website, mysticraven.net, if you would like to have readings. And I hope you have a wonderful week. Join us next time as we continue to explore the esoteric and the obscure together. Thank you.